dear friends in Christ, on behalf of us as family, thank you so much for your presence and your prayers here this morning. I tell you, I love this girl very much, Father St. Elias High School. I saw her often in the years after that. But today, I am honored to do the best thing for her, for all of us. And that's offer the Holy Sacrifice to Mass. Understanding the teaching of the Church, what happens on this altar in just a few moments, is that what happened in history, the crucifixion of Christ, is made present in mystery in the Holy Eucharist. And therefore, we can bring right to the foot of Jesus and say, remember this, your child, forgive her sins, bring her to glory, grant her rest and peace, and comfort all of us with hearts of broken because of her loss. So let's place ourselves now in the presence of God as we offer this Mass for us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Prepare ourselves to offer this Mass to this journey to God now and ask His pardon for our sins. Lord Jesus, you have shown us the way to the Father. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Lord Jesus, you have given us the consolation of the truth. Christ, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord Jesus, you are the good shepherd, leading us into everlasting life. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. And Almighty God, have mercy on us. Forgive us our sins and bring us all to everlasting life. Let us pray. O God, whose nature is always to forgive and to show mercy, we humbly implore you for your service. We have called the journey to you. And since she hoped and believed in you, grant that she be led to our true homeland to delight in everlasting joys. We ask in these things through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Be seated for the reading of Holy Scripture, please.
A reading from the book of Ecclesiastes. There is an appointed time for everything and a time for every affair under the heavens. A time to give birth and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot the plant. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. A time to embrace and a time to be far from embraces. A time to seek and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to be silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. What profit have workers for their toil? I have seen the business that God has given to mortals to be busied about. God has made everything appropriate to its time, but has put the timeless into their hearts so they cannot find out from beginning to end the work which God has done. The word of the Lord.
Thank you. reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Philippians. Brothers and sisters, the Lord is near. Have no anxiety at all, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. Then the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me. Then the God of peace will be with you. The word of the Lord.
Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, O
Lord. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he had sat down, his disciples came to him and began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the land. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they'll be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall be shown mercy. Blessed are the clean of heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they'll be called the children of God. Blessed are they who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they insult you and persecute you and utter every kind of evil against you falsely because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward will be great in heaven." And this is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise
be to God. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, if you don't mind, I'll begin with a personal story from when I was 5 years of age. In New York City, I was 5 years of age, playing on the front stoop of the house. And the big kid on the block said, "You want to go to the swimming pool?" I had no idea where the swimming pool was, but I liked the big kid, so I followed him for block after block after block after block. We got to the swimming pool, the big kid was gone, and I was totally and completely and frighteningly lost. And even after 70 years, I can still remember that feeling. And then at a distance, I saw my mother coming, running towards me. How she knew I was, I had no idea. And when she got to me, she did something very strange. She hugged me, and then she beat me. Now, I tell you that story at Leslie's Mass for two specific reasons. First of all, if I had told that story to Leslie, I would have gotten that most delightful of all gifts she always gave me, that incredible, that contagious, that wonderful laugh. Did anyone you ever know had a more glorious laugh than that little girl? She would light up the world with that laugh. She was designated in senior superlatives of the class of 2006 as most dramatic. And her laugh, indeed, was the most dramatic, the most contagious, the most wonderful laugh I've ever heard in my life. Somebody once said this: a proud person cannot laugh because they must watch their dignity. But a poor and a happy person laughs because they give no serious attention to their ego. Confucius warned, "Beware the person whose belly does not move when he laughs." And this girl knew how to laugh. But we also know that this little girl also had ups and downs and bumps in life. Longfellow said the following: "If we could read the secret history of everyone, we would find in each person's life
sorrow and suffering to disarm our hostility and lack of understanding. And the very fact that this girl could laugh so gloriously showed me and showed the rest of us that she could conquer so many of those things that gave her pain and grief over the years. And I tell you that story as well because is there not just any of us in this church today who give anything to hear that laugh one more time? And each and every one of us feels so very lost at this moment. Dear God in heaven, the word Leslie and the word death does not match. It doesn't go together. And all of us feel so lost, heartbroken, and confused. Starting with her, folks. May I point out to you, dear people, the statue behind me over the altar. There's a young man on a cross right there, and a parent standing next to him. The mother, our Savior Jesus Christ. And in a unique and special way, that lady understands what it's like for a parent to lose a child. She has that understanding that only she has because she has lost somebody like this. A priest I knew many years ago said the following when he saw the image of Christ and his mother on the cross. He also thought he heard her say to him, I am also a mother of darkness and fear. I am also a mother of darkness and fear. I have seen the darkness. I have felt the fear. But I am your mother, and I hold you in my arms. I know and I understand. There's a marvelous crucifix of our Savior Jesus Christ in a town in northern Italy. Most unique, carved in the 12th century. If you look very closely at the face of Christ on that cross, on the one side you see pain and agony, but as you move around, you see on the other side of that face, peace and acceptance. I pray in the years ahead that you as her folks will know that peace and acceptance that comes from following Christ and knowing his will for your life. Only somebody who has lost a child can understand the pain of a parent who's lost a child. And a wise man many years ago who had lost his daughter said the following. There is a way down from the mountain of such loss. I do not say it makes things easier, or it does not. But at least it makes things bearable. When I remember my child was a gift, a pure gift, a simple gift, something I neither earned nor deserved, nor had a right to. Everywhere I turn, I am surrounded by reminders of her, things we did together, things she said, things she loved. I have two alternatives. I can dissolve in remorse that all is gone forever, or focus on the wonder that she was given to us all. I can be grateful that shared life even for such a short time with her. May Christ our Lord eventually give you that peace and gratitude for the gift of this special young lady to you as her daughter. And for all the rest of us, we all feel so very, very lost. I feel lost in so many ways too. Somehow, I think that when we lose somebody suddenly in death, we're stopped in our tracks. Wasn't there a character, I think in Alice in Wonderland, who kept on saying this, I'm late for a very important date. The time to stop, hello, goodbye, I'm late. Isn't it true that's how we usually live? We keep rushing, we keep thinking, we keep moving, and we have no idea where we're going. And then when somebody dies, we suddenly stop and say, why am I here? What am I about? Coleridge, the English poet, always started by writing the last verse of his poem first. Is this not instructive of life itself? For one does not know where he's going. Is it any wonder he doesn't know he's lost? And you understand now, sorrow is holy ground. Sorrow is holy ground. And the church is the ultimate lost and found department. Because when you come here, you suddenly realize who's looking for you in the first place, who can get you unlost and on the right track to glory. Leslie was in my classroom, a joy. And in my classroom, there was a picture called The Light of the World. It's a picture of our Savior, Jesus Christ, knocking on a door. But the strange thing about the picture, it has no doorknob. It's an allegory for the human heart. You see, our Lord Jesus is constantly, gently knocking on the door of our heart. He's a gentleman. He won't push his way through. But in times like this, he's asking you to open that door and let him in. To let him in through prayer and the sacraments, so that you can find out where you are going, to know, to love, to serve him in this life, and to be happy with him forever in the next. The fact of the matter is, too, as well, when we lose somebody very suddenly like this, it's like having a phone conversation cut off. The things we want to say. I want to tell her something. I want to apologize for something. I want to tell her I love her. I want to say something to her. Understand this. She is now with our Savior Jesus Christ. She now sees you and understands you through the heart and mind and the eyes of Jesus Christ. There are no regrets. There are no cut-off conversations. Because in prayer now you can reach out to her through our Savior Jesus Christ, who loves you and loves her and heals all things. The strange thing about family life and personal life is this. As somebody put this life, in this life our connections to one another are feeble, impaired by sin, sickness, and the darkness of mental pain and pride. But in the light of Christ, there is no darkness at all. All connections, tenuous and hazy, now will be one day full and free on that day when all shadows fly away. Finally, there is one perpetual reunion place with those we have known and loved, and that's the altar. In just a few moments, heaven comes to earth. In just a few moments, Leslie comes to pray with us. In just a few moments, all those we have known and loved who are gathered in the court of heaven come down and pray with us. Don't miss Sunday Mass. Leslie's going to be looking for you to pray with you and to pray for you. Somebody put it this way. She whom we can no longer see is with us more than ever. I open my heart to her. I seem to find her in the presence of God. And although I weep for her, I cannot think that I've lost her, especially when heaven comes to earth in the mystery of this Eucharist. I love that girl very much. And I prayed for her every single day by name when she graduated from St. Pius High School, and I won't stop now. And I know she's praying for us. I love you all very much. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Please stand.
The response to our petitions is, Lord, hear our prayer. For Leslie, who in baptism was given the pledge of eternal life, that she will be held securely in God's loving embrace now and for all eternity, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Leslie was nourished at the table of our Savior. Welcome her into the halls of the heavenly banquet. We pray to our Lord. For Leslie's family and friends who seek comfort and consolation at this time, may they feel the healing power of Christ in the midst of their peril and grief. We pray to the Lord. We are assembled here in faith and confidence to pray for Leslie. Strengthen our hope so that we may live in the expectation of your Son's coming. We pray to the Lord. For our deceased relatives and friends, that they all may be reunited in God's kingdom of heaven, we pray to the Lord. That we may always endeavor to clothe ourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience as we strive for peace in a world full of uncertainty and strife. For those who committed to protecting the health of our environment, and for those who rescue and shelter animals, we pray to the Lord. In gratitude to God for the life of Leslie Kochensparger, as we remember her today, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer. O God, Almighty Father, our faith professes that your Son died and rose again. Mercifully grant that through this mystery of the Eucharist, your servant Esther, who's fallen asleep in Christ, may rejoice to rise again through him. We ask this through Christ, our Lord. Receive these. To give you thanks, Lord, Holy Father, Almighty Eternal God, through Christ. For as one alone he accepted death so that we might all escape from dying. As one man he chose to die, so in your sight we are all live forever. And so in company with the choirs of angels we praise you, and with joy we proclaim you. Make holy their holy things, we pray, sending thy Spirit upon the life of people, so that they may become for us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. At the time he was betrayed and unwillingly to his passion, he took bread and giving thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it. For this is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, the supper was ended, he took the chalice, and once more giving thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink it. For this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me." The mystery of faith. We may be gathered into one by the Holy Spirit. Remember, Lord, your church spread throughout the world, and bring her to the fullness of charity, together with us and our Pope, our bishops, and all the clergy. Remember your servant, Blessed, whom you have called today from this world to yourself. Grant that she who is united with her Son in a death like his may also be one with him in his resurrection. Remember all our brothers and sisters who have fallen asleep in the hope of the resurrection, for all who have died in your mercy. Welcome them into the light of your face. Have mercy on us, we pray, that with the Blessed Virgin Mary, the Mother of God, with St. Joseph, your spouse, with the holy apostles, and all the saints who have pleased you throughout the ages, we may merit the glorious eternal life and praise and glorify you through your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him, and with him, and in him, O God, Almighty God, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours, forever and ever. As we await the blessed hope and coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ, with the kingdom and the power and the glory of your voice now and forever. Lord Jesus Christ, who said to your apostles, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give you. Look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church, and graciously grant her peace and unity in accordance to your will, who live and reign forever and ever. Peace of the Lord be always with you. Let us offer each other a sign of Christ's peace. tragedies of the church in the world today, except we are not united at the altar of God, the Holy Communion. We have to pray for that special and wonderful day when all Christians can receive the Eucharist together and indeed be in Holy Communion with one another. And so today, if you are not Catholic, you may remain in your seat, your pew, or if you want to come forward, just cross your arms softly and receive the blessing of the Church. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold Him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb.
Lord, I am not
worthy to be chained to my roof, but only say the word, and my soul shall be. Let's pray. Lord God, your Son left us the sacrament of his body, food for the journey. First, we grant the strength and heart, Sister Leslie, we come to the eternal table of Christ, who lives and reigns one God forever and ever. Before we go our separate ways, we let us take leave of our sister. May our farewell express our affection for her. It ease our sadness and strengthen our hope. One day we shall joyfully greet her again, and the love of Christ, which conquers all things, destroys even death itself. Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Mass is ended.